Thank you very much for coming. I'm glad to see you. Give you a warm welcome and a very sincere welcome. And these meetings have been extended for this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night, in the will of the Lord. And we're thankful for souls who have been saved, people who came into this effort, gospel effort, in their sins 5 weeks ago, and tonight they're no longer in their sins, they are in Christ. It's tremendous to be out of your sins and in Christ and to be right with God. But there are others, and we are praying for you. And that's why these meetings have been extended. Now don't wait until Friday night, or Thursday, or Wednesday, or Tuesday, or Monday night, because you know what can happen in a 24-hour period, a lot. Now is the time to be saved. Christians, continue to pray. We believe there might be some that are just weighing it all up. Will I or will I not? We're going to pray. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we look to Thee for help tonight as the Word of God is opened. We thank Thee for the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We think of what it cost Thee for this great salvation that is ours to preach tonight. We thank Thee, Father, for giving the Lord Jesus Christ to die the painful, shameful, humiliating death of the cross. And on top of all that men did to Him, we know that in addition to all of this, our sins were laid upon Him, and the wrath of God fell upon Him. We thank Thee, Father, that He cried, "It is finished." We thank Thee that everything that a holy God required, or sin, was finished at the cross. We thank Thee that that innocent life, that sacrifice for sin that was made 2,000 years ago, is absolutely enough for Thee. We thank Thee for those in the meeting who say it's absolutely enough for us. We have trusted in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. We praise Thee for Him. For those that are out of Christ, we pray for them. Don't let them linger another night, Father, outside the door of salvation, in the darkness of their sins, in the coldness of their sins. We pray that even tonight the Spirit of God will speak to their hearts, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, we're going to read in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And verse 1. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Think of all the effort you have put into life so far, trying to find satisfaction. All the work, all the efforts to finally bring peace to your life and satisfaction. And here you are tonight, and you're still not satisfied. That's what verse 2 is about. Verse 3 says, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live." Verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked or the sinner forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Now, there's a lot of beautiful verses in that. There are a lot of beautiful verses in that chapter, but we're just going to focus on verse 1. Ho, every one that thirsteth. Maybe there's someone that's thirsty tonight. Not for a drink of water that I'm just going to take a drink from now. But maybe you are thirsting for genuine satisfaction. Maybe the pieces of the puzzle of your life just haven't come together yet. And you're working at it, but it's not working out for you. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. I want to use this verse in the gospel tonight. You know, Christ is found in all the scriptures from Genesis right through to the book of the Revelation. You can find him. He cannot be missed when you read the whole book of Isaiah. That book was written 750 years before Christ was even born. And yet it's in Isaiah that you read so many details about his birth, his death, his burial, his rejection, all of those things, all found in Isaiah, 750 years before Christ is born. Now we're getting to chapter 55, towards the end of the book. And you know what the verse says? Ho! Everyone that thirsts. You know what the word ho means? No, they probably have a bigger word now, but my brother used to be a trucker. And I know when he was learning how to become a trucker, it wasn't always the easiest thing, especially backing up, getting it into a tight little corner. And even to this day, you see some, they probably are getting into a tight corner, or they might be just wishing they had a little bit more experience. And you see someone outside, and they're going, come, come, more, more, a little bit more, 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 ho! You know what they mean when they say ho? They mean stop. And that's what the Bible is saying. Stop! Everyone who is thirsting, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Do not ignore his command to stop. He wants you to stop. Have you ever been stopped spiritually in your life? Come to a dead halt. Dead stop. He wants you to stop, listen, and come. And sometimes you don't get the gentle voice. Oh, stop. And sometimes God has to use his PA system. I'll blast it out here. How? How does he do that? He can do that in a lot of ways. He can do that by an accident. You do that by health scare. When you don't get the message at a gospel meeting, that's like God speaking gently. Stop now. Stop and consider your soul. This is forever. Oh, don't keep cruising on through life. Stop, stop, stop. If you don't get the message in the gospel meeting, God definitely wants you to stop. Sometimes he has a PA system. People say, if God was kind, why do people have such awful illnesses? I know a lot of people who have been saved because they were stopped through their illness. We have so much noise in our life. I don't mean just earbuds blasting in our ears. I'm just talking about the noise of life. You can hardly even think straight tonight. All you're thinking about is Monday morning and what's going to happen this week. And then you think, whoa, the 25th of December is just around the corner. And there is so much going on in our lives. And you can barely hear God's voice saying, stop! Sometimes he uses a PA system. A real wake-up call. People don't want to stop. People are sometimes embarrassed to stop. Maybe you're embarrassed. You know you should be saved. You know you need to have your sins forgiven. You look at this chart and you know there's not a chance of you ever being in heaven in the condition that you're in tonight. But you're afraid to stop in case everybody looks at you. Now that's a real deterrent for people being rescued in traumatic cases. Airplane crashes. The Pan Am 747 years ago crashed. 583 people died. Do you know that many, many people survived that crash? But they later died in the fire. They just sat there They were waiting for something, and they didn't. No one wanted to show that they were uptight and worried. And so rather than being embarrassed, they sat in their seat and they were engulfed in flames. The same thing happened 9/11. I wrote it down here. There are people, look what they did. Some lingered for as long as 30 minutes before leaving. Many called their relatives. About 1,000 took the time to shut down their computers. Oh, calm, cool, and collected. I know this building is shaking, but I'm not going to lose composure here. I don't want anyone to see that I'm nervous and scared and upset. And so they shut down their computer and saw, no one even ran down the stairs in 9/11. Oh, they just walked. Because, you know, after all, you don't want to look like you're a wimp in a time of crisis. You just want to maintain your composure. People don't want to be embarrassed in any way. And so people who study these things, they say there's three reasons why people don't survive crises. Number one, it's not cool to read the evacuation plan. You're in the plane, you don't want to appear to be the nervous flyer and get out the thing in the back seat and read it and where are the exits now. And you don't want to appear to be too attentive listening to the person saying here, and this is going to drop you and put around your mouth. You're not there all, you're just sort of, you don't want to read the evacuation plan at the office, a boring orientation. Evacuation plan. So it's not cool to read the evacuation plan. And then two, this can't possibly be happening to me. Stories do have a happy ending and I'm going to survive. So that's the way people think in a time of crisis. And three, now this isn't me saying this. These are psychologists that study human behavior. People do not want to appear flaky and lose their composure in a time of crisis. Maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you don't want to appear flaky. You don't want to be giving in to pressure. You don't want to stop. You know you have to be stopped. You know you have to have your sins forgiven if you're going to be in heaven. But you don't want to lose your composure over it. My friend, it's far better to lose your composure than to lose your soul. And that's what these gospel meetings are all about. God says, ho! Stop! Everyone that thirsteth. My people are going at such a clip. We talked about that the other night. The high-speed skid marks of life. So many plans. Derek. Some of you may have known Derek. I'm not sure. But Derek would be related to Max McLean, who's been here many times. Derek was the life of the party. He was living in the fast lane. Parties. Drinking. Friends, planning his 21st birthday. But before his 21st birthday, he was going down to Bermuda with his girlfriend, Katie, and he sent out an email to all his friends and said, when we get back home, we're going to have my 21st birthday. And they went down to Bermuda. And I've seen pictures, 6'4", big tall guy, and just, ta-da! Enjoying it in the sun. Bermuda! Rented a jet ski. A few waves that day. A little choppy. And the jet ski sort of rolled and came down on top of Derek. And Derek was briefly submerged. And then he gets up and he's staggering. And he tells his girlfriend, Katie, I'm having a panic attack. Get the jet ski. She turned around. He was face down in the sand. Smashed chest. His father, Larry, married to Max McLean's daughter. He flies down from Canada to Bermuda. He's taken to the morgue. He opened the door, and there is just about 21-year-old Derek. He has to identify his son. The white sand is still in his eyelashes, eyebrows, in his nostrils. I wonder what your father would do if he had to identify you. Do you know what Larry did? Larry collapsed in the morgue floor when he looked at the corpse of his son. Was God trying to get Derek to stop? Yeah. Adele McLean, his step-grandmother, he had been at her funeral, heard the gospel preached, but he had no time for it. Sort of mocked it. That was just a couple of months before. God was saying, stop, Derek. Stop. And Derek had stopped too late. He still had the 21st birthday. But Derek wasn't there for it. Are you going to get stopped in time? This is serious stuff. It's not about how your money's going to do in the markets, the volatility of the markets. It's about how your soul is going to do in the volatility of life. Stop. God wants you to stop. An awful thing if you're going at high speed and your brakes fail spiritually and you don't get stopped. Don't ignore the command to stop. Don't reject the invitation to come. The greatest wonder to me is why he would even be inviting people like me and you to come. I didn't get invited to President Obama's inauguration. I didn't get invited to Stephen Harper's big celebrations up there. And I don't get those kind of invitations. But here is the God of heaven, and he's saying, ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Three times in this verse, come is mentioned. Come ye to the waters. Come ye. Come by. God wants you to come. When I look at my wicked heart and the sin that I have inside, the greatest wonder to me is why it say come. Why doesn't he say, go? Go, Peter. I don't want you. But you know what he's saying to you tonight? He's saying, come. I want you. Come. Don't reject his invitation. I know you probably have gotten other invitations and you said, nah, I don't think so. I don't have money to buy a wedding gift. I'm not going to go. And then there have been other times when you didn't get an invitation. No, that's okay. I didn't. No, I wasn't expecting an invitation. No. I know they have so many other people to invite. I knew I wasn't really expecting an invitation while you're checking the mailbox every day. No. And I'm not offended in the least that I didn't get invited to that function. But deep down, you are sort of hurt. You know what I love about the gospel? Everyone's gotten the invitation. The invitation is for all. The invitation goes to you tonight. Don't reject his invitation to come. You're never going to find a warmer, more sincere invitation than the invitation that God is giving you tonight. He really does want you to come. Come, come. Like I've met people in my travels and really thought they were quite nice, and I'd say over meal, I'd say, you know, you got to come to the East Coast. You got to come. And then you're leaving their place and you're out in the driveway and you're saying, you remember now, here's my address. Come. Love you to come. Then you send them an email and you say, come. What am I trying to communicate to that person? I really want them to come. What is God trying to communicate to you tonight? He really wants you to come. He started saying come in the book of Genesis. You can trace the word come all the way from Genesis to the book of Revelation. The very last chapter of the Bible has got come in it. Come, come, come. And here it is three times in this verse. Don't reject his invitation to come. He really wants you to come. Don't miss a drink at the fountain. You say, what do you mean at the fountain? Well, he says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Are you thirsty tonight? You know what the world reminds me of? Like, you know, no matter what movie it is, what party it is, no matter what way people try to lighten the load of life and impair their mind by whatever it is, all of those things, a Monday morning, sort of leave you dry, don't they? Haven't you found that? You ever get a good smoothie or milkshake? And it's good to the last drop, and you're going like this, and then you tilt, you go like this. You're trying to get, there's a little bit more there, and you're trying to suck it up. It's empty. What God is offering you is a glass that will never run dry. A fountain, a source of living water that will never be depleted. You'll never be sucking its last drop and say, I thought there'd be more. Have you ever heard a Christian say, I thought there would be more? No, friend. Look at it. I am sure if you're in your sins that you are thirsty. Tom Brady. I don't know whether you follow football or not. I don't really, but I follow Tom Brady. I have a story about him on my website. It's probably one of the more popular stories. I just checked yesterday. A kid, Nathan Orr, Alex Orsuk, was asking me. He's a Tom Brady fan. That's with the New England Patriots. Anyway, he said, how many hits do you get? Well, I said, I'll just check. And I had 39,600 people have clicked on that story on the website. 39,000. He's a popular guy, Tom Brady. I mean, he's got all kinds of credit to his name. He's only 30. He's got a $60 million contract. And presidents invite him to their State of the Union addresses. He's had a personal audience with the Pope. And, he's just got a whole list of things. He was being interviewed by CBS News, and Steve Croft was interviewing him, 60 Minutes, I believe it was, and was asking him about whether or not he was satisfied, or whether he was still thirsty. I'm using that word now myself, thirsty. And Tom Brady said, actually, I haven't found it yet. You have won 3 Super Bowls? And you're still not satisfied? How could that be? So, here's what Tom Brady said. I'm quoting. He said, why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life. Me, I think it's got to be more than this. I mean, this isn't it. This can't be what it's all cracked up to be. Now, this is Tom Brady. Multi-millionaire. He was one of the world's most eligible bachelors until he settled down and married a supermodel. And he's still saying, I've got it all, and yet I have nothing. So Steve Cross then asked him, well, what is the answer, Mr. Brady? And if you watched the video clip, I think if you were a soft-hearted person, even a little bit, you would have to shed a tear. When you look at young Tom Brady, and you look at his face, Steve Cross says, well, what's the answer? If you can find it on YouTube or wherever you look at it, he just goes, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. He said it twice. You want to know what the answer was. He said, I love playing football. I love being quarterback for this team. But at the same time, I think there are a lot of other parts about me that I am trying to find. I wish I knew. I wish I knew. You know what I would love to blast into his living room tonight? Tom Brady, ho! You're thirsting. There is an answer for you. You can have a drink of living water. Christ is the fountain. He is the source. He can bring you satisfaction. What you need is Christ, Tom Brady. What you need tonight is Christ. I don't know why you would keep him out of your life for another minute. Do you think he's going to cramp your lifestyle and have you all hemmed in and living a miserable life and the unhappy face? Do you think that's what Christ is going to do the moment you place your trust in Him? My friend, He will fill your soul with gladness. He will give you peace within. He takes all your sins away. And He gives you a satisfaction that will never, ever, ever run dry. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, don't miss the drink at the fountain. Come to the refreshing waters. There's fullness. There's nothing shallow. There's nothing stagnant. You're drinking from an old swamp. The world, Satan, is offering you a swamp. How can you stand it, the stench? You must get sick of it. Ah, but Christ is offering you a drink of cool, sparkling, clear, living water. It'll just make you thirst for a drink. If you received Christ tonight, you'd have that drink and you'd never be dry again. Don't misunderstand the terms of the offer. He says, even if you don't have any money, you can come anyway. Buy and eat. Well, you know what it means to buy and eat even though you don't have any money? Because none of us had any money to get this wonderful gift. We were totally paupers when it came to getting this wonderful gift of salvation, this living water. We had no currency to offer God of our own. Penniless. Well, what does he mean? Buy. Come, buy, even if you don't have any money. It just means when you buy something that's your own, you say, this is mine. It's no longer rented. It's mine. Christ could be yours tonight. Eternal life. That's the terms of the offer. You don't have to have a red cent. You don't have to have a week of good works or a week where you didn't mess up or you reduced your swear words. Right in the meeting tonight, he is offering you this. Free of charge. He paid for it at the cross in drops of precious blood. And you could have this drink tonight. Living water. Eternal life. To be blessed in this life and blessed in the life to come. Don't lose out on the blessings that are available to you. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come tonight while the meeting goes on. Drink. Receive Christ as your Savior. And you will be satisfied.